It is in this part of the brain where God communicates with man. You can rewire your brain, show you how you can actually change even the way that you think. Isn't that good news? These pathways are built in our brain. We can rewire our brain. Right up until the day we die, we can rewire our brain. When you have a look at the head, you will see seven avenues of access into the brain. There are two ears, there are two eyes, there are two nostrils, and there is a mouth. Everything we hear or have ever heard, everything we see or have ever seen, everything we smell, and everything that goes into our mouth, whether it be food or drink, has an effect on the brain. Our decisions determine our destiny. So how important that we know something about the decision-making part of our brain. This is an area that many people are ignorant. So we're going to begin by looking at the brain. Now the brain, from side on, it looks a little bit like this. And there is what's called the limbic system. And the limbic system basically takes up about that part of the brain. And this limbic system is often called the emotional brain. And I think we all know about emotions. And I think we all know that emotions aren't a very good guide because they go up and down like the wind. But there's another part of our brain that God designed to actually control that limbic system, that emotional part of the brain. So to do this, we're going to have a look at the brain from top down. From top down, you will have a look at the brain like this. And in the front part of the brain, and we're going to call this the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain, and I think the way you're looking it is. So in the right part of the brain, you could call that the I won't section. That's down there. Now, this is a very important part of the brain. Where it's very important is, no, I won't have that cigarette. No, I won't have that cup of coffee. No, I won't have that big steak. I'll have a bowl of lentils instead. And on the left part of the brain is the I will. And the I will part of the brain is also very important because I will get out of bed and exercise this morning. I will go to bed early. I will make decisions that are helpful for my body. So you've got the I won't and you've got the I will. And we need a little bit of balance in there. And that's where we come to. Right in the center is the I want part of the brain. What do I want? Do I want a healthy body? And if I want a healthy body, then I can trigger the I won't do that or I will do that. And God designed our brain so that this part of the brain, just here in the center, is where our goals are. It's called the prefrontal cortex, or sometimes it's called the frontal lobe. And this is where our will is. This is where we make our decisions, and it made a and the I will or the I want threaded through the won't through the I want. That's actually what should govern our decisions, and that's so important because our decisions determine our destiny. So in the front part of the brain, this is where our intellect is. This is where our reasoning powers reside, and this is where judgment takes place. It is in this part of the brain where God communicates with man. In Isaiah 1:18, the Bible says, come, let us reason together. You see, this is where the reasoning happens. What should I do? Should I stay in bed and have another hour? Or should I get out of bed right now? And that influences whether we do the I will or the I want. That's the way God planned it. Unfortunately, there are many things today that people are doing that are actually clouding or compromising the part where our goals are, the part where our intellect, reason, and judgment is. And we've been looking at that this week, though I haven't actually defined it as such. So dehydration compromises it. Late nights compromise it. Lack of exercise compromises it. Bad food compromises it. bad air compromises it. So on the other hand, when we're well hydrated, when we're well slept, when we've got nourishing food in our bodies, when we're breathing in fresh air, we're having sunshine every day, then the I want part, in fact, one author called it the guardian. That's the guardian that's actually influences the wills and the wants part of the brain, which are, of course, affected by the limbic system, which is your emotional, your feeling part of the brain. I'd like to use as my framework the seven mental laws that govern the brain and show you how you can rewire your brain, show you how you can actually change even the way that you think. Isn't that good news? The first law is the law of cause and effect. Effect follows cause with unvarying degree all through nature, and never should the effect be blamed as the cause. I had a lady come to me and she said, I found the cause of all my problems. I've got chronic fatigue syndrome. I said, no, that's not the cause of all your problems. That's actually the effect. Even when someone says, I've got depression, do you know you can't just get depression? Depression is actually an effect. It is not a cause. Dehydration affects depression. Late nights depression affect depression. It's Newton's third law of motion. To every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. Proverbs 26 verse 2 states that the curse causeless shall not come. You know what that means? No problem happens without a cause. There is always a reason. In fact, to say someone just has something is to defy basic science. So we should always be looking at the cause of a problem. And sometimes the problem for depression could be too much coffee, dehydration. So that's the best place to start. When someone comes to me wanting help with depression, do you know that's what I do? I said, start drinking more water. Start easing off your coffee. You could stop your coffee straight away, but you might suffer. A clear indication that it's not doing you any good. I say, start going to bed early. Start limiting your technology time. Start seriously assessing what you're watching and the effect it's having on your brain. Start exercising. But I don't feel like exercising. Yes, that's your limbic emotional brain. But what do you want? I want to feel good. I want to conquer my depression, so I will go and exercise. Can you see how that all threads into each other? The second law is the law of choice. And the law of choice, as you can see, is determined in that I want, the frontal lobe part of the brain, your guardian, where your goals are. This is what you feel like doing, but this is what you want, so that influences your decisions. And when you're well slept, well hydrated, well sunned, well exercised, well fed, that I want part of the brain is a lot stronger. But we've got something else coming here, and that's habit. You've heard of habit? Habit can be our best friends or our worst enemies. To understand habit, I'm going to draw your brain cell. Here's your brain cell. It's your nerve cell. And we have 1 trillion of these in our brain. They're the dendrites or the receiving stations. And this is the arm that comes out of the nerve cell. These are the little filaments on the end. They're the boutons. Here is the next nerve cell. Our nervous system is an electrical system, and it does not touch. They do not touch each other. They communicate with each other via little chemical messengers in the brain. And these little chemical messengers jump from cell to cell. So the chemical messengers come in, they're encapsulated in the nucleus, and then they're sent down the arm. And they come into the boutons, and then they're released out to the next nerve cells. Now, those messages can be traveling anywhere between 2 and 200 miles an hour. Well, in a crisis, anyone that's been in a war zone, they know you're moving, and you're moving very fast. Now, even though you're just sitting here, your brain cells can be moving fast because you're considering everything that you're hearing right now. And when you are hearing the things you're hearing, your brain is processing it through your I want. In fact, you're probably hearing some things and you're probably thinking to yourself, I won't have that coffee anymore. Or maybe you're hearing some things and you might start to say, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to bed earlier tonight so that I will get up and I will, can you see it all threads through that? It's an amazing brain. In fact, science still doesn't totally understand the full functioning of the brain. If someone says, do you have a computer? You have. You've got the most amazing computer on the planet, which is the brain. And did you know that everything you're hearing today, you will be processing. You'll be processing through your what you want, through your goals. You'll be processing it through your intellect, reason, and judgment. And you'll be putting in certain spots. And when you go to sleep tonight, when you go to sleep tonight between the hours of 9 p.m. and 2 a.m., then your brain starts processing and filing the things that you heard today. It's an amazing process. How does it know where to put it? It knows where to put it because where your want put it. So if you hear that coffee's no good, in fact, that interferes with those neurotransmitters in the brain, causing a chemical imbalance in the brain, if you hear that and you think, well, I don't care. I want my coffee. I will have it. When you go to bed tonight, it's going to put it in the spot. I will continue to have it. You see that? God gave us a wonderful thing when he gave us choice. You see, God is not in every man. You would never say God was in Hitler, Mugabe, Stalin. No, no, no. God gave mankind choice. And what a gamble is that? You see, God is a gentleman. He will never force entry. In Revelations 3 verse 20, there's a lovely illustration. It shows God standing at the door and knocking. He says, Behold, I stand at your door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and opens the door, he said, I'll come in. How do we open the door? It's right here. What do you want? I will open that door. He will come in. I won't open that door. I want to do my own thing. God says, okay. He's a gentleman. But it does explain the heartache that we see on planet Earth. Some people say, how could God allow that to happen? Unfortunately, God gave mankind choice. He didn't want robots. Do you want people to love you because they choose to love you, or they've got to love that person? That doesn't happen. In fact, there's a name for forced love, and that is rape. In fact, there's no love there at all. No, God is a gentleman. He woos us. He knocks. No, he knocks. And God wants us to hear and open the door according to reason, intellect, and judgment. That makes sense. When you get to know a person, what do? You spend time with them. You tell them your life. You listen. How do you listen to God? Do you know when he speaks to us? Very early in the morning. So how do you hear that voice? You have to go to bed? Early the night before. And there's a verse that's in Isaiah 50 verse 4. It says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. I love those early, early hours of the morning. We've got to do our part. God gave us choice. And one choice that can free human beings from much heartache is the choice to forgive. Let me tell you the story of a man who came to us. His name was Doug. I said, did you have a healthy, happy childhood? He said, no, I didn't. My father yelled at me all my life. He was 40. He had prostate cancer. I said to him, oh, sometimes that's all you can say. Oh. I kept moving on because I could see it really irritated him. I talked to him later after the lecture. I said, Doug, you've heard about the power of forgiveness. Have you forgiven? You don't understand. He yelled at me all my life. I said, I can understand. That must have been very, very hard, Doug. But you've got quite a serious illness now. And I believe that for you to heal, you need to forgive your father. You don't understand. His voice was rising. I changed the subject. 2 minutes later, Doug said to me, I've done it. Oh. Congratulations, Doug. Now, his limbic system, his emotional brain said, don't do this. Can you see that? And all his life, he'd been harboring this, my father yelled at me, my father yelled at me, he yelled at me, he yelled at me, he yelled at me. Can you see what's happening in his brain? What was happening in his brain was he was developing a very strong habit pathway of anger towards his father. You see, it's not a limbic emotional brain decision, or you'll never do it. It's an I want decision. What do I want? I want to be free. Notice what he said. I've done it. No emotion there at all. How could there be? How could there be? Don't wait for your emotions. They'll hold you back. You see, the third law of the brain states that your words affect your feelings. So don't wait till you feel like it, or you possibly will never do it. That's why it's so important to know about your limbic system, to know about your emotional feeling system, and understand that your guardian, your or what, that's where you make your decisions. Doug wanted to be free. He said, I've done it. I said, congratulations, Doug. You've probably made one of the most important decisions of your life. When he said, I will forgive. What's still the strongest pathway? My father yelled at me all my life. Now, the next time he's tempted with what his father did, he has a choice. Which pathway will he go down? Because he didn't want to be burdened with this anymore, he used his intellect, judgment, and his will, his reason, and he said, I won't relate that story anymore. Because I want to be free from this. I will go down my new pathway. And every time he was challenged, he said, I have forgiven. I have forgiven. Till eventually, he had a new pathway. And because he didn't go down that old pathway anymore, it got thinner and thinner. The research shows it takes 21 days to form a new habit. 21 days of going down the new pathway, it's a physical pathway in the brain. 21 days of not going down the old one, it gets fainter and fainter. When we cherish or entertain negativity, thorns grow. Thorns grow between the dendrites. You see, when a negative thought comes in, let's do it with Doug. When a negative thought comes in, my father yelled at me all my life. It's not fair. It comes like a breeze through the branches of your trees. And at that point, you can hold it or you can let it go. Now, all his life, Doug had been holding on to it. He yelled at me. It's unfair. He yelled at me. And thorns were growing. And he had prostate cancer. These are your psychosomatic diseases. When he heard this, and with my little bit of a shove, he made a decision. I won't go there anymore. I will forgive. His goals, his reason, intellect, judgment said to him, it's time to stop. Yeah. Does it ever say to you, it's time to stop? And that night, after he'd made the decision, a little bit of battle, a few, couple of times that day, but he stood firm. When he went to sleep that night, little cells were activated. They're called glial cells. And your glial cells are your body's vacuum cleaners. And there are more glial cells in your brain than nerve cells. And because Doug made the decision to forgive, when he went to sleep between the hours of 9 and 2, the little glial cells came along and they vacuum cleaned up all the thorns. Science is now showing that forgiveness has a physiological effect on our brain to clean it up. When you're lying in bed about to go to sleep, just think, wow, when I'm asleep tonight, my body's vacuum cleaners are going to clean up all the thorns. My brain's going to process properly, file system, everything that I did in the day. Amazing things happen when you sleep. Forgiveness is a choice. Just do it. Just do it. You'll get better at it. Practice makes perfect. Practice makes permanent. Repetition is the mother of retention, and repetition deepens the impression. These pathways are built in our brain. We can rewire our brain right up until the day we die. We can rewire our brain. And if you say it's good, guess what? It will be. And if you say it's terrible, guess what? It will be. That's the choice factor. Forgiveness is a choice, and love is a choice. Love is not dependent on feelings, because our limbic system, our emotional brain, it goes up and down like the wind. Your words affect your feelings, so be very careful on your words. Your words reveal your feelings, and you can't let them all out. Some say it's your right to speak your mind. It's your obligation not to speak your mind. You don't know the effect of your words on your hearer. And the proverb that says, he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Do you know who it's the piercings of a sword to the most? The speaker. The speaker. The speaker's getting hurt just as much as the one who's receiving them. And when people speak to you like that, just let it, you know what you say? Poor thing, he's got a problem. He's got a problem. You don't take it on. Your words reveal your feelings. What happens if you're upset? What if you're upset and angry? Go for a run. Can't run. Have a cold shower. It's Melbourne. Will it have an even better effect? Have a great big glass of water. Have some chamomile tea. Calm down. Calm that limbic system, that emotional brain down until your guardian's strong. Your words reveal your feelings, so you got to deal with them back there. Back there in the I want section. The fifth law is the law of adaptation. We've got a changeable brain. And because we've got a changeable brain, we can rewire our brain. There's two proverbs that talk about it. Interesting to note that medicine only acknowledged it in the last 13 years. One proverb is Proverbs 13 verse 20, where it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed, because of the law of adaptation. It's also called neuroplasticity, soft-wired. The other proverb is Proverbs 22:24, where it says, make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways, because of the law of adaptation. Because of the law of adaptation, our brain can grow and our brain can shrink. It is true that there are things that damage brain cells, and if they're damaged, they don't grow again. But there are three things today that medicine is showing can stimulate new brain cell growth in the hippocampus part of the brain. Three shockers cause a release of brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Brain-derived neurotrophic factor is a protein that stimulates neurogenesis. Neurogenesis means new brain cells. What are the three shockers? They're shockers. Prepare yourself. You're going to really have to get to the I will to do them because they're shockers. Fasting. An easy way to do it is to have breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, then have an 18-hour fast through to the next morning. Or come to Misty Mountain Health Retreat, where we make it really easy for you, and you do 2 days on vegetable and fruit juices. That's a shocker. It's a shock to the body when the food stops coming. That's one shock. The next shock is finishing every hot shower with a quick cold. Notice I didn't say long cold. I'm kind. That's a shocker. You'll go, it's a shocker. But it's going to stimulate your brain to release the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, new brain cells. Number three, high-intensity interval training, running for your life for 30 seconds uphills, then having a break and then doing it again. That's a shocker. You're like you're dying. Something else can grow. Every time we learn something new, we develop another dendrite. I love memorizing. It's one of my favorite things to do. And every time I learn new verses, another dendrite. If you play the piano and learn new pieces, there are three things that science shows are the most powerful in developing new dendrites. One is learning a new language, learning a musical instrument, and memorizing Bible verses, because the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. How long does it take to really solidify in your brain? Probably about 21 days. I learn a verse a week. If I do any more, it gets all jumbled up and I can't remember anything. So every time you learn something new, another dendrite grows. That one brain cell can develop 70,000 dendrites. I can hardly get my mind around that one. And you know what the research shows? We can be growing new dendrites right up until the day we die. So there are three things we can grow. We can grow new pathways, we can grow new dendrites, and we can even grow new brain cells. What about shrink? When you forgive anyone who's ever hurt you in your life, your glial cells are activated to mop up all the thorns, and the pathway to that memory actually shrinks. So it needn't be part of your daily thoughts. That's the good news. So what's the bad news about shrinking? If you don't use your brain cells, you will lose them. Number 7, the last law is the law of diversion. And the law of diversion states that when something is so firmly denied as to refuse any hope for it, the brain has the ability to divert to other pursuits. I love that law, because sometimes God closes a door, but what's the saying? When God closes a door, he opens a window. An Italian man said to me, no. What we say is when God closes one door, he'll open two. Have you found that? So you can see by what I've shown you this morning that you can rewire your brain right up until the day we die. And when we start rewiring our brain, it will not be easy. And my prayer is that you will take up the challenge to rewire your brain. Rewire your brain so that you can have a healthier, happier life